Well, we're nearing the end of our Lenten journey, and we have now reached Holy Week. We find ourselves entering Jerusalem with Jesus. But in today's somewhat familiar passage, I want us to identify with somebody who's outside of Jerusalem. We don't know the person's name. This person may live in Bethphage or in Bethany. Matthew's gospel is not clear. It says Jesus is outside of Bethphage and then says, go to that village over there. So is he talking about Bethphage or is he talking about Bethany? But Jesus and his disciples are there. So when Jesus tells the disciples what to do, he could be referring to either town. If it's Bethany, perhaps this person is friends with Lazarus and Mary and Martha because that's where they lived. Or perhaps they knew Simon the Pharisee and the healed leper. That's where he lived too. Or maybe he knew Jesus personally. Or maybe he had only heard of Jesus. The person that I'm talking about, of course, is the owner of that little donkey which Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Jesus sent his disciples ahead to receive this colt and told them to tell the owner, the Lord has need of them. In Matthew's gospel, we have a small textual problem that Matthew talks about two donkeys, the foal and its mother, and the other gospels just talk about the colt. But Matthew always he's continuing his pattern of always having two witnesses. And he always wants to make sure, because he wants to make sure that those two witnesses are always present. But Jesus can't ride on two donkeys at once. Nobody can. But he did ride on multiple garments and not two animals. And remember that when we began the study of Matthew, we learned that Matthew's theme is Jesus is the king. He's a Messiah king, and he's constantly using Old Testament prophecy to prove it. And here he quotes from Zechariah, which speaks of two donkeys. But it's Hebrew parallelism. It didn't mean that Jesus had to ride on two donkeys. It's there for emphasis. And still, Jesus fulfills this prophecy perfectly. And it's very possible that maybe the disciples took both donkeys, that the mother would have walked ahead and Jesus would be riding on the colt behind so that the colt would follow. Regardless, Matthew's little differences don't take away from the truth of our text today. We can still trust God's word fully. Because Jesus tells disciples to use the word Lord or Master, he told them, the Lord has need of it. It is likely that this owner of this donkey is a disciple of Jesus, although not one of the 12. There may have even been a prearranged agreement that Jesus made privately with the owner sometime before. Or maybe it was completely unexpected. Regardless, whoever this owner was responds promptly in obedience and allows the disciples to take the donkey away. We have a prearranged agreement with Jesus. We call it a covenant relationship. It's a relationship initiated by God. We broke that covenant, but Jesus died for us to renew that covenant, and God calls us to respond. When we place our trust in Jesus, we receive him as our Lord and our Savior. To claim Jesus as Savior means that we acknowledge that Jesus has rescued us. He has saved us from something, sin and death and self. And he has saved us for service to God. To confess Jesus as Lord means that we acknowledge Jesus as our master, our owner, our ruler. And Jesus tells us that we are to count the cost before we follow him, because he wants us to know what is required. Will you be my disciple? Yes, Lord. Do you know what I require of you? Yes, Lord. Will you give me all of you? Yes, Lord. But then what about the time comes? When someone says to us about the things that we have and says, the Lord has need of them, are we willing to give them up? When we receive Jesus, we receive his life in exchange for ours. It belongs to him, and it always did. But now he lives in us and through us. We surrender our false illusion of self-control and self-sufficiency to the reality that God is in control and that Jesus literally is Lord and Master. We confess something that has always been true. So when Jesus calls us, do we follow through with obedience like this owner of this donkey? We have to realize what a big deal it was for this owner to give this donkey to Jesus. First, we have to remember that it was a colt, an unbroken colt. It had never been ridden before. This is like having brand new transportation. The owner hadn't even had a chance to use it yet. It was an investment because donkeys were important for livelihood. They cost a lot of money to care for, and they take time to care for. Imagine something brand new transportation, brand new motorcycle, brand new car. You haven't even had a chance to use it. Somebody says, my car broke down. I don't have any way to get to work. Can I borrow yours for the day? Are we so quick to lend our new things, or things that are valuable to us, things which we've taken time to invest in, things that have costed us? Ah, yes, you say, but this is Jesus. Jesus would be responsible with it. He would return it. He wouldn't hurt it. He wouldn't harm it. But Jesus tells us that what we do for the least of these, we do it for him. It is still the Lord who has need of it. Yes, you say, but the owner knew in advance that Jesus was going to need his little donkey. What is it that we consider valuable? And are we willing to give it to Jesus? At the same time, Jesus has told us what we do for him. But we have advance notice as well. We don't know all the details of what Jesus is going to ask of us. But again, when we acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, we acknowledge that absolute right to our lives and all that we have and all that we are. Because we have privileges and blessings, but God has rights. I've searched the scriptures, and the only right that we have that I found is that we have the right to become and be called the children of God. That's found in John 1:12. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the right, the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Now everything else we have, and we have a lot of stuff, are gifts and privileges. And we have talked about some of those during this season. We saw from Romans 8 and from our scripture about Jesus that he calls us his children, that we're his adopted sons. That means we have the full inheritance, that everything Jesus has, we have. That's all gifts and privileges. That we have the promise of Jesus' presence. We have so many things that God freely gives us in Christ. But they're not rights. They're not things that we can demand of God. They're things that God graciously gives us. It's from the one right that we have the right to be called children of God that we have all those other privileges. Think about a legal will, for example. If you have a good relationship with your parents, then you might likely be, if they have anything, named in their will. It's a privilege you have as their child to be named in that will. It's not your parents' right to give you an inheritance. Rarely do parents owe their children anything. An inheritance in itself is not a right. An inheritance is a privilege. And parents are happy to bless their children and entrust them with their legacy. And God is the same way. God does not owe us a thing. We, however, owe God everything. Still, God happily blesses us as those adopted sons and entrusts us with God's legacy, carrying forth the gospel, spreading God's love to the world around us, caring for creation, and using the gifts that God has given us for God's glory. I don't know if any of you have been practicing giving up something for Lent during this season or not, but it can be a helpful discipline for us to search those areas in our lives where it might be difficult for us to surrender something should the Lord have need of it. Lent is a time to test our strongholds, to identify idolatry in our lives, the things that we hold on too tightly and we give importance to, and yes, even worship before we worship God. The things that we hesitate to surrender should the Lord say, I have need of them, are idols. If we find it hard to give up a certain behavior, it may too be an indication of an area of our life that we have yet to surrender fully to the Lord. The activities that we put ahead of spending time with the Lord might be idols in our lives. Another way that we discover those areas we've yet to surrender to the Lord is when we say one thing, but we act differently. And a lot of our sins are based on two things, either fear or rebellion. So we fear, we don't have unbelief. Unbelief, fear, and rebellion. So unbelief, fear, is when I'm not giving this to God because I really don't think God can handle it. For example, the senior citizens that I know that are living together without getting married because one or the other is afraid that if I get married, I'm going to have to give up some of my government benefits, and then I might not have enough money to live off of. Well, that's trusting the federal government more than trusting Jesus for your provision. And I don't know that I trust the federal government that much. But Jesus is never going to let us down. Yes, Jesus might be saying, it's costly. It's a sacrifice. I know that. But I promise to provide for you for everything. You might have to change your lifestyle. You might not be able to live in quite as big a place as you're used to living. But I will take care of you and I will bless your commitment to me. That's the same sin as a person that knows that they are called to do something for the Lord, but they don't want to give up their job because I don't know if I'm going to have enough money and now I might have to raise support or something and what if it doesn't come through? It's the same thing. It's unbelief that Jesus is going to provide for my needs. Or then there's outright rebellion when we know darn well what God wants us to do, but we just don't want to do it. We like being in control or thinking that we're in control. Or like Jonah, who had a very clear call on his life to go preach to the Ninevites, but because he was racist, he decided, I don't want to do that. He knew God. He knew God's character. He knew that God was going to not punish those people. He knew that they were likely to repent if they heard the gospel message. So he didn't want to tell them because he wanted them to fry like sausages. He didn't want to share the good news because he was rebellious. So we sin because we don't believe or we're rebellious. Or maybe it's a combination of both. And so we hold on to the things when the Lord says, I have need of it. And we're like, oh, really? But if we have the courage to let go, we will see God do amazing things. It might be a struggle, but if we let go, God will take care of us. God will provide and God will show up in amazing ways that in which God, only God can get the glory. What if the Lord asks something really hard? Like, I have need of your family or your child or your very life. Some of you are aware of Boko Haram's ongoing persecution in Nigeria and now even into Kenya. Regina Wilson's village was one of those that was attacked. Because of where she lived and what was going around her, she expected Boko Haram to come to her village. And so she made up her mind in advance that when they come, I will not deny Jesus. So when they did, she was there. And they killed her husband and her oldest son right before her eyes. They took her daughter away, most likely to be married off or sold as a sex slave. Another son was so badly injured they thought he was dead, and they weren't reunited with him until days after the attack. Her youngest son lost an eye, and yet they have all remained faithful to Jesus. They refused to deny him. Sometimes the things Jesus asks of us seem very small in comparison, and yet we can't let them go. Other times, Jesus asks incredibly difficult things from us. But everything we are and everything we have belongs to Jesus, and he has the right to call for it at any time. The women's Bible study didn't meet today, but we're working right now through Psalm 73. It is a psalm in which Asaph expresses how he learned that his relationship with God is more than enough, and how he had to overcome the envy and the greed of jealousy as he looked around him and saw wicked people prospering, mocking God, scoffing, and yet having riches and abundance and everything. And he's like, I'm being faithful, God. You're not doing anything for me, but all these people over there, they're getting all this great stuff. And I see people that are leaving you to follow them, and what are you doing? And he was jealous until, he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God and I realized their end. He overcomes that envy and greed and jealousy because he realizes that Jesus, his relationship with God, Yahweh, is more than enough. Because God has given him eternal salvation. What more could he ask for? In the end, everything's going to turn out right. In the end, he's going to share in God's glory. In the end, he'll have everything. So what is Jesus worth to you? Is he enough? Reverend Nathan Decker has written this thought-provoking litany. The Lord has need of it and will send it back. Give up my cup of coffee in the morning to feed an orphan? Absurd. The Lord has need of it and will send it back. Give up 10 minutes of my 24 hours to pray? The Lord has need of it and will send it back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave us our resources. God gave us our time. The Lord needs it and will send it back. Today we give. May we be reminded, not only today and this week, what God gave to us and for us when he gave us Jesus, but may we never forget. How can we withhold anything from the one who has given his very life so that we might live? Jesus asked for all of us, for all that we have, for all that we will be, and all that we are. We sing, I surrender all. But how often do we live like I surrender some? The hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, mentions all the various body parts that we offer to the Lord, our lips, our hands, our feet, our voice, our heart, our self, and it mentions our money. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. A mite was the smallest coin at one point in time. When we sing songs like I Surrender All and Take My Life, do we really mean it? One of the confessions in our book of confessions is the brief statement of faith. And it opens with the line that in life and death, we belong to God. It's a phrase taken straight out of Romans 14:8, that if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. So what about when God says, the Lord has need of you? Will you respond in obedience? Maybe God is calling you to volunteer. Or maybe the Lord wants you to serve within the church. Or maybe God is calling you to love somebody who is very difficult to love. Or maybe God is calling you to build deeper relationships with acquaintances who do not yet know Jesus. Or maybe God is calling you to surrender an addiction and to live a life of holiness. Or maybe God is asking for something that you own. Examine your heart. Have the ears to hear God's voice, whether it comes through a messenger like the disciples were to this donkey owner, or whether it's that internal voice of the Holy Spirit, so that you can be ready to give when it is asked of you. The Lord has need of it. How much is Jesus worth to you? Let us pray. Father God, today we acknowledge that you have the right to all that we are, all that we have, all that we will be, because you purchased us through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who died for us. Lord, you did not withhold anything back from us, but you gave it all. You are all in. Help us to be all in for Jesus. We thank you that you give us so much freely and willingly because you've given us the right to be your children. And with that comes abundant gifts and privileges. But Lord, we owe you everything. So may we be free and generous. May we not hold to the things of the world too tightly. Speak to our hearts and show us the areas where you are saying, I need that. Whether it's something internal or external, help us to surrender it to you, Holy Spirit. May we be like this donkey owner. No questions, just obedience. In your name we pray. Amen.